We want to welcome you tonight, each and every one of you, and just want you to be blessed with what goes on.
All right. And it is a joy to be here tonight with you guys. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, family, elders, everyone for allowing Harvest Crusades and the Harvest team to come in. And so thankful to see the family of God coming together and partnering in such a powerful way to see stuff like this happen. And it's really happening all over the world for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the gospel. And that's what it's about. And so we're blessed to be here. As Pastor said already, this is a start rally and kind of a time to come together and get excited about the crusade. And it's really cool to see that you guys would even desire to go out on a Saturday and really blanket the community. To hand out flyers and really promote the crusade, because you know the most important thing at the end of all this is, hey, we need churches that they're going to come back to and get involved in and be a part of. We need discipleship to take place. A lot of people are going to make decisions to follow Christ, and we want them to get plugged into churches. And what a great church you guys have here, and what a blessing it is to be in this place. And so I'm looking forward to seeing many make decisions to follow Christ and really come and be discipled right here in this church. But got a special message for you tonight. My name's Josh Thompson. I'm one of the pastors over at Harvest Christian Fellowship. And we're going to open the Word of God and really study and spend some time in it and get excited about the gospel. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We want to say thank you for your Son, Jesus. We know we wouldn't be here tonight unless he did die on the cross and raise from the dead and come and pay for our sin. Give us the gift of heaven. You've brought family together tonight, Lord, to look into your Word. We pray that we would sense your Spirit. Yes, Lord, we pray that you would pour your grace upon us. We pray that you would teach us what you would desire, and we would walk away changed and encouraged forever. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Three things I really want to look at is we have a start rally tonight. I can almost hear the engines starting as Harvest Crusade right around the corner. But three things, if you're taking notes, you can write these things down. I know we got those note takers. Like, I got to have those points, Josh. You got to give me those points. Okay, we got those points, all right? The first thing is we've got to start to care. We've got to start to care. If we're going to move and make an impact on our community, hey, we've got to have a burden. We've got to be caring for people. Remember, just as was said, Jesus looked upon the multitudes with great love and compassion. Yeah, he definitely cared. And remember, he said, oh, how he wishes he could gather them as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, how I wish I could gather you and come close to me. But you would not, he says. Second, we must start to share. Not only must we care, but we must start to share and make movement in the direction and really go as Christ has called us to. And then thirdly, we must start to follow and teach others to follow. And so we're going to look at those three points tonight. The title of the message is, What Were You Made For? What were you made for? Some think we were made to have fun and then die. Yeah, some think we were made to accumulate a bunch of stuff, maybe as much stuff as possible, and then pass into eternity. Try to climb that highest rank. Some think we were made to find and do what pleasures us the most. But the real question in life is, what were you made for? What are you doing here on this earth? What is your purpose and why? What's the purpose in all this? What is the ultimate goal? We find man chasing after aspirations and dreams all the days of his life and wondering why he still feels lost and discontented. Running around seeking after aimless things and still feeling empty, not satisfied. Take Steve Jobs, for instance. You know, the owner, CEO of Apple. Yeah, he's the guy who makes stuff like this, right? The iPad and the iPhone and all the iGadgets that you see around. He said this, I quote, I want to put a ding in the universe. He said that. And he's really looking to do that with technology. Interesting. But I think at the end of his days, Steve Jobs is not going to be thinking, I wish I would have spent more time at Apple, or man, I should have released the white iPhone the first time around, you Mac users. Inside joke. That's funny. You can laugh. That's okay. And I think he'll be thinking about what every other person in the world thinks about in their last moments, their family, their friends, their life, and their God. Their God, their master. These are questions we should all be asking, because before you know it, life will pass by and it will be time to pass on into eternity forever. That's a long time. Maybe you think, but Josh, I'm young, I got tons of time. Life is but a vapor, isn't it, family? It comes and goes very quickly. The old and wise here would look into young people's face and say, it blows by quickly. Hey, look at me. I used to have hair. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I had a beautiful wave that hung in my face, a beautiful wave of hair. Now I have beach. It's a joke. But yeah, the hair is gone. Hey, things fade away. Things pass on. It's true. Tonight I hope to paint the picture of what you're supposed to be doing, exactly what you're supposed to be doing in life, so you don't wander around for years trying to figure it out, and so you can get busy doing it now. Hey, it's not how long we live that matters, but how well we live. It's true. The Westminster Confession of Faith, Larger Catechism, Question 1, states this. What is the chief and highest end of man? What is the chief and highest end of man, the greatest goal, the greatest thing you could ever accomplish in life? What do you think that is? The greatest thing you could ever... Amen, I love that. Go to be with the Lord Jesus, the absolute greatest thing we could ever accomplish? Absolutely. That is half of the answer there found in the book, dead on. It says this, the chief and highest end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Isn't that awesome? That is the chief. The greatest goal you could ever accomplish in life is bringing glory to God with all that you have and enjoying Him forever. The enjoyment starts now. Did you know that, family? Starts today. Yep, I've come to give you life and that abundantly. Eternity starts now, a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with our King. And eternity, heaven will be just that. Did you know? It will be discovering Jesus for eternity, the infinite God, trying to discover who He is, His great love, His wonderful grace. We as Christians are called to be, as Paul would say, theodoulos in the Greek. Theodoulos. What does that mean, Josh? God's slave, theodoulos, God's slave, or slave of God. God would call us to do this. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Listen closely. But Paul says, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. What do you think it means to be a slave of God? It means submitting to your master who is God, desiring to obey and follow His commands. You see, many people don't understand this. They think if I was raised in a Christian family, or I go to a Christian school, or I have a Bible, or I go to a Christian church, that automatically makes me a Christian. But this is not true. We know. Going and doing these things doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't get you brownie points in heaven, right? What does it come down to? Comes down to who your master is. Who is your God? Who are you a slave to? Who or what are you a slave to? Bob Dylan sang it. He said, you're going to have to serve somebody. And everybody does, and everybody will. You serve something or someone. Many are slaves to money, success, ourselves, pleasing ourselves. The TV can be a master, computer can be a master, even a person we know that we serve and live and chase after could be a God in our lives. Who or what are you a slave to? Jesus approached this big issue in Luke chapter 14, this cost of following Him. Go and turn there in your Bibles. Luke chapter 14, if you have your Bibles. If you don't worry, I'll read it to you. But hey, I know I would encourage you, this is Bible study time, and we're going to open God's Word, and we're going to study it together. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sure we can find one for you around this place, maybe after the service or so. We'd love to bless you with one. But we are here to study God's Word, Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you get to Revelation, too far, right? Too far. That was a joke, I know. That was a joke. Okay, Luke chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 25 here. Are you there, Luke chapter 14? All right, great. It says, verse 25, now great multitudes went with him. Who's him? Jesus, that's right. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my what? Disciple. Interesting. Jesus says, if you don't hate your family and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. You're like, huh? Jesus, didn't you say in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Yeah, he did say that. So isn't that a contradiction, Jesus? You know, you're telling us to hate our family, and you're telling us to love one another. No, take a look closer. Jesus, in our context here, is showing the cost of being a disciple. And what he's saying is, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow after me, you must be so devoted to me that it would almost seem as if your love is so great for me, you would give up anything to follow after me. You would give up all to follow after me, even family and friends, so much so it would almost seem as if you hate your family. But of course, Christ would call us to love one another. He's talking about devotion unto him. And then he goes on in verse 27. Take a look. He even paints a clearer picture for us. He says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Disciple. There it is again. Notice, Bible students. He says, you must take up your cross and follow me. Interesting. Has Jesus gone to the cross yet here in our passage? No, he has not. So he's talking about the cross here when he hasn't even gone. Yeah, me and you know what the cross is all about because, hey, we're Christians and we've seen that Jesus has died and rose from the dead for our sins, paid for our sin there on that cross. But hey, in this day, they don't know about that. They don't know what's about to happen. What is a cross a picture of in that day? Hey, it's a picture of death, isn't it? It's a torture symbol. You know, we wear crosses around our necks now as fashion items, and hey, we want to represent the Lord Jesus and in our Christianity, and that's okay, and that's fine, and that's perfect. But back in that day, if you wore a cross around your neck, they're just like, huh? What's with the death symbol, right? It would be like me saying, you want to be my disciple? You got to go to the electric chair. You want to be my disciple? Here's a noose. You want to be my disciple? Let's go check out the gas chamber, right? He's listing a torture symbol that he would go to and be brutally beaten and destroyed. Jesus would say, you want to be my disciple? You've got to die. Huh? You want me to die, Lord? Yes. Dying to ourselves. He is painting a big picture of the cost. Are you seeing? Got to hate your family, huh? You got to go and die to be my disciple? What? And then check it out, family. Take a look at verse 28. Look what he says next. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Stop there. He says, listen, the cost is great. I want you. You will have to hate your family. Your devotion to me will be so great in love. Yeah, you will have to die and give up your life for me to be my disciple. And then he says, listen, sit down and count the cost. He says, if a man wants to build a tower or a house, he sits down first. Good thing you guys are sitting. Good job. Good job. You're sitting. He says, sit down and think about what it costs to build this thing first. A man, of course, sits down and starts to think about it before he starts the project, doesn't have enough money to finish it. So he says, so too, you want to be my disciple? Sit down and think about the cost first. Think about what it cost. It cost a lot. It is a great cost that Jesus is asking. Jump down to verse 33 and take a look. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, what do you think that word all in the Greek means? You guys are geniuses. It means all. If you do not forsake, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my what? Interesting. There it is. Hate family. Love and devotion should be so great. You got to go to the cross. Got to die.
Sit down and think about it. It's great because I'm asking you to forsake all if you want to be my disciple. Look at what Jesus is asking. He is asking you to count the cost and recognize that the cost is your whole life given to him to be his disciple. Jesus says to you, you want to be my disciple? You say yes. He says it will cost you your whole life. Do you say deal or no deal? This is a sign of a true Christian. We family, point number one, have got to start to care, understand the cost, and recognize what Christ is asking in order to be a disciple. It will motivate us and help us to recognize how much he cares and how much he wants us to care. Allow the cost and calling of Jesus to come over us. Do we have hearts for him? Do we really care enough to make moves to help in advancing of his kingdom? We must start to care, our first point. If we want to see something happen in our city, we've got to care. We've got to sit down and think about what the cost is, what he's asking. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, Josh, I heard this before. So cliche. I know I have to give up everything to follow Jesus. Wait, listen. Many of you may not see exactly what Christ is really asking of you. Let me take it a step further into sharing what this looks like. Jesus is asking you to become a slave to God, theodoulos, to give up everything, your rights, desires, dreams, your goals. Now, before you walk out of the church, wait just a minute. Let me explain what this looks like and what this means. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just go ahead and start turning to the right. And if you hit Revelation, too far. Too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to look at one verse here. One of my life verses. I love it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Are you there? We're going to look at verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Huh? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Go ahead and say it with me. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. One more time. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory. Two more times. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. One more time. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Why are you doing that, Josh? You see, some people in the crowd are like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. You see, when they go to bed tonight, and they go to sleep. Repetition brings memorization. Yeah. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Let's break down this scripture. Let's take a look at it. Whether you eat... What do you think that means there? Whether you eat, very interesting word there in the Greek, means to eat. You mean like real food? Yeah. You mean like cupcakes? Uh-huh. You mean like In-N-Out Burger? Yes, definitely. Whether you eat or drink, what do you think? Drink water? You mean like drink soda? You mean like, yes. Whether you eat or drink the smallest things in life or what? Or whatever you do. Yeah, what do you do? What do you do? Hey, whatever it is, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do all for the glory of God. That's what it comes down to. This is huge. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, if you're fishing, driving, drinking coffee, watching TV, working out, going to school, hanging out with friends, raising a family, finding a husband or wife, whether you're walking, talking, eating, or drinking, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, Paul says. What is Paul saying here? What is he asking? Sounds like all of our lives and all that we do, we should be doing to bring God glory. Sounds like a person who's given up everything in their life to be a billboard, a picture, to be a worker, a slave, one who brings God glory with all they have. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. John Blackard said this, life ought not merely contain acts of worship, it should be an act of worship. It should be an act of worship, our whole life. Point number two tonight, we got to start to share all of our lives. We've got to share all of it with those around us, bringing our King glory. Share the good news. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, when you taste and see of the goodness of God, you never be the same. Oh, it's His loving kindness that draws a man to repentance. Yes, it does. When we start to share that and bringing Him glory, great things happen. Let's talk about this. Okay, Josh, I get it. Everything I do is supposed to be bringing glory to God because I've given up my life to God. He's my master. I want to bring Him glory. I want to live for Him and not myself. But how does this work practically? You know, I can't just quit school and quit my job and go be a missionary in Africa. I got to work, you know, to make money so I can live with my family, you know. There are ways to bring God glory in everything that we do, even eating and drinking. Did you know that? No. Yes. No way. Yahweh. Yes. Well, how could that work in drinking, Josh? Hey, you walk into your Starbucks, right, to get your morning coffee because that's what you like to do. And hey, instead of just going in there and throwing your money down and getting your crazy drink that I can't say the lingo down, you know, you go in there and this time, you decide to look the girl in the face there and say, hey, thanks for fixing the coffee for me. Don't work too hard. God loves you. She's like, huh? Awkward. Why are you doing that? And you say, don't work too hard. Lord bless you. And you walk away, and then you come back the next day, and you get your coffee. And man, you just keep giving nice gestures. And then, hey, one day you decide to slide a flyer across the table. Maybe invite her to Harvest Crusader. Invite her to church here on Sunday, right? Slide a flyer across the table there, and she's just like, who is this person that keeps being generous and nice? You throw some money in the tip jar and say, Lord, bless you. Don't work too hard. Lord, be with you. I'm praying for you. And all of a sudden, instead of just going in to buy a drink, you end up giving God glory in the smallest things in life. Can we do stuff like that? Absolutely. What about a restaurant, Josh? What about sitting down eating? Yeah, absolutely. Why not? You sit down there to have your meal with your family, and the waiter comes with your food after ordering, and hey, you look her in the face. Hey, you guys need anything else? Yeah, one more thing. We're going to pray here. We're Christians, and we're going to pray over our meal. Just, is there anything you want us to pray about? Oh, awkward. Why are you asking me that? Right? And she's like, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, you know, I don't really believe in God, but my mom just got cancer this last week. Maybe you could pray for that. You say, hey, Jenny, hey, you don't worry. I'm going to pray that God would heal your mom. You don't worry, all right? God's going to take care of it. Lord bless you. And you go and you write Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 on her receipt. May the Lord bless you and keep you, be gracious unto you and give you peace. Then you give her a nice tip and you walk away and she's thinking, who are these people? Who does that? Hey, Christians do that. Hey, whether we eat or drink or go to a restaurant, we can bring God glory in all these things. Everything that we do. Family, I want to take a moment here and paint a picture just quickly here. I want to show you, as we true Southern California Americans are pursuing this thing called the American dream. No, I'm not. It just naturally happens in our society. Yep. The TV tells us to, Hollywood tells us to. Yep, America, everyone around us, that's what we talk about, that's what we do. You know, go to college, get your degree, get your job, buy your house, get married, have 2.5 kids, right? Right? Go get your SUV, right? And, you know, your kids get their license at 16, they go to prom, and they do the whole gig, they play soccer, and and you become a grandparent and retire, and that's the American dream. That's what we do. Is that a bad thing, Josh? No, that's fine. That's perfect. That's good. But I want to show you just quickly how we can take that and use that for God's glory. Hey, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, why not do it for the glory of God? Let's start at college real quick. Some think, I'm going to college to go and get a degree. That's good. That's part of it. That's good. That's part of it. You know the real reason you're in college? It's to bring God glory. How? By praying for those students next to you. Yeah, by praying for your professor quietly in the secret of your heart. He never knows. She never knows. Just pray quiet prayers for him. Yeah, this girl in our college study, she did a powerful thing. She took something called a oral communications class. Maybe you took it. I took it in college. And what it consists of is three speeches. You got a demonstration speech, you got an informative speech, and then you have a persuasive speech, right? And in her demonstration speech, right, see, I thought it would be clever to teach them how to break dance, right? That's what I did. No, she had something way better. Bring God glory in this thing. She said, I'm going to go in there and take Bibles for the whole class, and I'm going to teach them and demonstrate how to study God's Word. Awesome. Hands up Bibles to everyone. Turn in your Bibles to John 3:16. Isn't that great? They turn in their Bibles, John, and they start reading the Scripture. The Scripture's going into their minds, into their hearts, into their blood. And she breaks down the passage, and they see that God loves them right there in the midst of a college oral communications class. Hey, whether you eat or drink or take an oral communications class, why not do it for the glory of God? Amen? That's what it comes down to. You thought you went to college to get that degree, but hey, if you walk into college, you walk into heaven, maybe the day that you graduate, you pass on into eternity, and all of a sudden you're standing there, God's like, what have you been doing for the last 4 years? You're like, look, Lord, I got a degree. And he's like, good, good, okay, that's good. What about my glory? What about my kingdom? What have you been doing for the last 4 years? And you're like, oh no, Lord, I guess I've been building my kingdom. I guess I've been focusing on my life. And God would say, that's okay. That's okay to do. But don't forget my glory. Don't forget my kingdom. You'd say, Josh, I'm going to college to get that degree, though, so I can get that great job. Got to get that job. You can't get a job these days unless you got a bachelor's degree, right? That's what we tell all our kids. That's what we tell them. You thought you were in that job. You thought you applied at that place so you get that job so you can make that money, right? Got the job. Yes, I'm so happy I got the job. And you thought it was to make that money. You want to know the real reason why you're at that job? It's to bring God glory. How? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Yeah, you're living for Jesus. You show up on time, man. You work harder than anybody else, and you're humble in your work, and you're submitted to your boss in such a powerful way. Like, why are you doing this all the time? Like, man, because I'm a Christian. I love God, and I want to do it unto Him. And people start seeing the way that you work, and they want to bow down and worship your God because of the way that you live in your workplace. Who cares if you work a job for 20 or 30 years making money for you? And you never bring glory to God in that workplace. It's okay to work hard and make money for your family. That is part of it. That is needed. But what about bringing Him glory? Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Josh, I thought I was getting that degree so I get that job so I can make that money. So I can buy that nice shirt, right? I got to get that nice watch, okay? That's part of it. That's okay. That money's for me, Josh. I work hard for it. That's part of it. That's okay. You know the real reason you're making money? You know the real reason? It's to bring God glory. Whether you eat or drink or make money, do it for the glory of God. How? I encourage the young people all the time, please become millionaires. Hey, not pursuing the love of money, but please work hard in your workplace. Please start businesses and make lots of money. Why? So we can fund the kingdom, man. We got to get the gospel out to the rest of the world, man. We got to take care of this church, okay? Well, there's people in need. We need to make sure the people are taken care of. The church doesn't have to ask for money because we give so abundantly. I love that passage in the Old Testament. Remember Moses asked for the tabernacle? And the people brought so much stuff. He was like, whoa, no more stuff, no more stuff. We don't need any more money. We got too much. Stop. Love that. Remember that guy who walked into heaven, right, with gold in his pockets? He's like, yeah, look, Lord, look at all this gold. Look at all this money I made. He's like, yeah, we walk on that stuff up here. It's just asphalt. Just throw it over there in the corner. right? It's not worth anything. Hey, you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead, huh? Yeah, Jesus would say to you, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust and thieves will break in and steal. No, no. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, because moth and rust will never eat it away. And thieves can't break into that place and steal it. Nope. Because what? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah. You thought you got that degree so you get that job so you can make that money so you could buy that house. Oh, yeah. Buying that house. That house is for me, Josh. I worked hard to get that house. That's part of it. You thought you were in that neighborhood because you liked it, huh? You and your wife went looking for the house in the neighborhood. This is the one. You know why God placed you in that neighborhood? Because he wants you to bring him glory in that place. Yeah, he wants you to minister to those people in that neighborhood. How? Hey, you bake them brownies and you bring them across the street, only if they're good, though. And you bring them and you say, hey, I'm a Christian, just want to know. Lord bless you, and I'm excited to be here in this place. And man, if you ever need anything, let me know. I'd love to bless your family. And you walk away and they're like, who is this person? And you invite them out to church and you minister to them, right? But that house is for me, Josh. That's part of it. You buy that house, you get that degree, and you make that money so you could find that spouse, huh? Find that spouse, yeah. Hey, that's for me, Josh. Yeah, that's part of it. Gosh, he's so gorgeous. I know, I know. He's so handsome. I know, I know, I know. You know what the purpose in finding a spouse? Whether you eat or drink or find a spouse, you know what it's for? It's for his glory. How? Hey, she should be the tag team partner for the kingdom, man. Yeah, he should be that one that's going to help you to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah, a partner that will convict you and encourage you and pray for you and build you up when times are down. Yeah, that's what it's about. What about babies? What about children? Whether you eat or drink or have kids, you do it for the glory of God. Amen. I love babies for me. That's okay. That's good. You can have many babies as you want. Okay, I want to have the family. I want to have a little baseball team, Josh. That's what I want. Okay, that's cool. That's good. That's good. You know what the purpose? It's to bring God glory. Raising up the generation, the next generation that will seek the face of God. Teaching the children to love Jesus with all their heart. Well, I don't have kids yet, but I can't wait. And man, I would love to get that phone call from school, right? Mr. Thompson, yes. Little Johnny, I don't know. He's laying hands on people trying to pray for everybody. What's going on? He's saying things like, come just as you are. Come just as you are. He's trying to baptize kids in the kiddie pool. What's going on here? Amen, amen, amen. I would love to catch my kids talking to Jesus in the backyard. Building a relationship at 3 and 4 and 5 years old. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. How about one more thing? Your grandparents are so powerful. How? You know why God has allowed you to become a grandparent? So I can spoil them and give them back to the family. That's part of it. That's part of it. You know the main reason? And there is something about Grandpa when he takes you on that ride and sits you down and starts to tell you about Jesus and the relationship that he has with Jesus. And there's something about that grandma, yeah, who lays hands on her little granddaughter and prays for her, encourages her to love Jesus. Something powerful. I'm telling you, for such a time as this, that God has allowed you to be that place in your grandkids' lives. You can bring them to church and love them in such a powerful way. Sometimes kids just won't listen to their parents, but they'll listen to grandma and grandpa. You have power. And whether you eat or drink or become a grandma or grandpa, do it all for the glory of God. God wants to use your life for his glory. Family, whether you're eating or drinking or going to college, getting a degree, working a job, making lots of money, buying a house, finding a spouse, raising a family, Being a grandma or grandpa, fishing, golfing, surfing, plumbing, teaching, buying, selling, browsing, watching, touching or talking, loving or living, whether you're eating at a restaurant or drinking a Starbucks, whether you're listening to a message or preaching on a pulpit, hey, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That is what we are called to do. That is what we are made for. Friends, it's saying about you, it's about Him. If He is our God, we will treat Him as such. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. But you say, Josh, if I give up everything like you say to bring God glory instead of me, it sounds like I'll lose everything and I'm not going to have anything in life. Listen, friend, Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all your needs, everything that you need is going to be added unto you. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Hey, Hollywood, the world, New York, England tells you to build your kingdom, build your stocks, build your power, build your fame. Let it all be about you. And let me tell you, that's the fastest way to depression. That's the fastest way to get down in your life. You want to be bummed out? Think about you. Focus on you. Hey, joy, the acronym, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, then yourself, right? That's the way He wants it. You seek first God. You seek first what He has called you to do and bring Him glory, and you're going to be blessed. So the big question, what were you made for? We were made to bring God glory, Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The final point is we must start to follow. We must start to care. We must start to share with showing it in our lives. And finally, we must start to follow. In closing, some of you have come here tonight who know the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, if God has convicted your heart and spoken to you, there just needs to be a little different positioning in life. Just a little tweaking. You see what I did? Just painting the picture of life. It's just a repositioning of the way that we see life. Saying about me, it's about Him. And I've come to understand that the more I look at Him, the more blessed I am in life. It's the way it works. A car is made to run on gas. If you put dirt in the gas tank, it will never run. You are made to run on God. And if you try to run on anything else, your engine will never work. And you will find yourself wondering why life isn't working. The answer, stop putting dirt in your gas tank. Start putting God in your gas tank and your engine will purr like never before, man. You will be running on all cylinders, I'm telling you, in life. You want that passion to start to grow like never before? Hey, start glorifying Jesus with everything that you do. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. In commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him forever. I command you in the name of Jesus, don't waste your life. Spend it on Him. Give your life to Him. He'll do a lot better with it than you can. I promise you that. Harvest Crusade right around the corner. What a great opportunity we have as a family to invest in the kingdom by truly caring enough to pray for your unsaved friends and family, by sharing the love of Christ and inviting people out to hear the gospel at the crusade, and then bringing them back to your church, please. And number three, helping them to follow Jesus with all their hearts and teaching them with everything that they do to bring God glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, how it cuts into our hearts. And man, it just wants to change us. And we receive it. We don't choose to run from it. We don't choose to harden our hearts. We want to receive it now. And I pray, God, by Your Holy Spirit, that You would empower everyone here in this room to start living for You in that way, that they would see their lives, their whole lives, and all that they do. Small things, finding ways to bring You glory, finding ways, listening to Your Spirit on how they might bless You in every situation. So fill them new and afresh. Father, do a great work in the crusade. Use all of these here to hand out flyers and to get the word out, and please to bring back to the church and disciple. Oh, Lord, help us to build Your kingdom. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.